And now, a word from Team Cilantro and the Cilantro Awareness Foundation. Welcome to TJ Slideways Live, courtesy of racesontheweb.com. Here is your host, TJ Buchenbarger.
Thank you, Beth. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of TJ Slideways Live, coming to you just outside of Grand Rapids, Michigan, here in the Engine Pro Studios. Of course, just like any other show we have, you can interact with us via our Facebook fan page for TJSlideways.com, at TJ Slideways on Twitter, also via email, TJ@TJSlideways.com. Later in the program, we're going to have Brian Gerster on, continuing our countdown to the Payless Little 500 in a couple of weeks. We'll be down at Anderson, Indiana for the annual Sprint Car Classic. 33 sprint cars, 3 wide for 500 laps. Gerster's a former Rookie of the Year in the race, and he'll come in to talk about that and a few other topics along the way. Also, great story. And we're always kind of on TJSlideways.com looking for good stories, whether it's a 410, wing, non-wing, 360, 305, champ sprint, wingless sprint, midget, silver crown, super modified, whatever we can find. We love a great story. And Alyssa Ruggles will be coming on a little bit later. She won her first career feature win at Canandaigua Motorsports Park over the weekend, and there's a great story behind it. So we'll do that a little later in the program. So Brian Gerster and Alyssa Ruggles on tonight's show. But you guys seem to like the commentary last week to kick off the show, so we are going to continue that throughout the season, and we're bringing back one of our favorite segments,
the latest dirt.
Just gonna recap a little bit of some of the opinions and things that happened over the past weekend, so let's go ahead and get started. How about Christopher Bell? Christopher Bell picking up his first career World of Outlaws win at the Jacksonville Speedway on Wednesday night. And he backed it up with not another World of Outlaws win, but a USAC Power Eye National Midget win at the Belcar Speedway in Belleville, Illinois. What an interesting combination. We were trying to look back through the records. We can't find anyone that's actually managed to win those two type races in the same weekend. A pretty amazing deal for Christopher Bell. We had him on a couple of weeks ago talking about driving for the Fox Brothers. One motor, one car, and a small team that always gets put in the modified parking match to pull off the feature victory. It's a great win for that group, so congratulations to all of them. Another upstart, David Gravel, picking up his second win in the Beef Packers car Friday night at the Wilmot Raceway. I talked to several people that are over at Wilmot on Friday. Said it was a great program, one of the best shows they've seen at Wilmot in a long time. Track in great shape. Then the Outlaws moved Saturday to the Tri-State Speedway over at Hobstad, Indiana, where Paul's to the wall, Paul McMahon, took the victory there. All-Stars had some great stories over the weekend. Lee Jacobs joined his father Kenny and Uncle Dean as an All-Star feature winner Friday night at the Lernerville Speedway. Lernerville, ironically, where Kenny picked up his final All-Star victory before retiring, so Lee Jacobs getting the win on Friday. Jack Honshaw picking up the win for Destiny Motorsports on Saturday at Mercer Raceway Park. If you have a chance, go online to Lernerville's Facebook page and check out the video of Lee Jacobs nearly taking out Jack Honshaw in victory lane on Friday night. What's Hod do? Goes out and wins Saturday. Lee finishes in second. Congratulations to Craig Mintz. He doubled up at Attica Raceway Park and at the Fremont Speedway over the weekend, both winning features, both venues in the 410 Sprint Cars. Also, J.R. Stewart picking up the NRA Sprint Car opener at the Lima Lam Motorsports Park. This is going to be a big year for the NRA Sprint Invaders. The $10,000 to win point fund pays well throughout the pack. Keep an eye on that series throughout the season. Andre Layfield won the Buckeye Outlaw Sprint Series event at Wayne County Speedway from 20th starting position. That's not a typo. 20th. He had a spin in the seat race, had to transfer through the B main, and made a last lap pass on Mike Miller, leading only the last 50 feet or so to collect the victory. Ryan Brown has bounced back really well at Knoxville Raceway after a tough start to his season on the West Coast, winning his second 410 Sprint Car feature in a row at the Marion County Fairgrounds. Joe Beaver also picked up the 360 win. Keep an eye on Beaver. He's moving up the win charts with another 360 victory. you have a chance, go to jackslash.com, subscribe, and check out the finish from Kokomo Speedway this past Sunday. Dave Darlin, Justin Grant, John Stambro, nearly three wide over the line for the win. Darlin winning in a photo finish. How pumped are we for the Kokomo Sprint Car Smackdown now? We're going to be there all three nights with full coverage. Dustin Daggett won the first I-96 Speedway Open Sprint feature of the season, while Doug Zimmerman won another feature over at the Butler Motor Speedway. And a sadder note, 20-year-old Darren Pfeiffer was burned seriously Sunday afternoon at the Sportsman Speedway over in Knox, Pennsylvania. Pfeiffer is airlifted to the UPMC Mercy Hospital in Pittsburgh with second and third degree burns on his legs. But we do have a good report. He's awake and alert. He's out of the ICU now in his own room, and he's been tweeting today. So that's a good sign. He sent a couple messages to us, and go to our actual Twitter account at TJ Slideways, and get, or on the website tjslideways.com, information to send well wishes cards and whatever else to him. And that's going to conclude
the latest dirt
for this week. And unfortunately, it was a bad situation over there for Pfeiffer, but he's got a really good attitude, and we hope to see him pull through. So that concludes the latest dirt. We're living in an interesting time in the open wheel world right now, where we're seeing the Christopher Bells, the Kyle Larsons, the Rico Abreus of the world starting to assert themselves. And in the past, we've seen these guys maybe juggle a little bit of winged and non-winged sprint car racing. Once they got into the midgets and the sprint cars, they kind of stayed over in there. We saw maybe with Casey Kane a little bit. He came over, still did some winged sprint car racing, but not nearly as much as he did. He was probably in the USAC ranks before he got a sniff of some full-time, what's now the Nationwide Series stuff. And then he mainly went to winged sprint car racing after that. And progress through his NASCAR career. Now we're seeing these guys run the midgets and the Silver Crown cars, but they're putting wing sprint cars as a steady part of their racing diet. And it's really interesting to see these kids jumping back and forth. And the thing that amazes me about the young kids right now is how quickly they figure things out. Even my generation, or maybe a little bit younger, people figured things out pretty quick. But this generation of Larson and Bell and all these kids, they figure things out so fast. It's just amazing to see how quickly they get up to speed no matter what competition they seem to be going up against. It's just absolutely amazing to see them progress throughout that. And it's a fun era to be in right now. And I was also having a discussion over the weekend about wing sprint car racing right now, where several years ago, we were talking about the quality of wing sprint car racing. And right now, at least, it seems like over the past 4 or 5 years, the 410 racing, to me, the quality is better than it ever has been. And even during the salad days and the TV stuff, it was good, but I mean, it wasn't great. And that was actually some of the single file racing in that era is what turned me on to non-wing sprint car racing more. It's not that I didn't really go non-wing sprint car racing, but there was just a lot of factors that came into that. And now the quality of the wing shows is a lot better. The racing's a lot better. I think some of it's the product of the tire, the rules. I know the wing rules aren't real popular with teams. The tire rules aren't overly popular with teams, but it is making the on-track product better to watch. And I'm still not a huge fan of the double file restart, but it does seem to shake things up a little bit. And that has something to do with it too. But even all-star shows, I see when we're on here, seem to be doing really well when we look at that. And those races are more competitive than they were probably even 8-9 years ago. It's really entertaining to watch. And some of it, even though there might not be as many teams in circulation, we've got a lot of young drivers right now that are really exciting to watch in the ranks. And it's somewhat of a little bit of a mystery of who's going to show up where at times. Like over the past weekend, Gary Taylor just popped up in Jason Fossey's car, Attica and Fremont. And things like that where 410 guys will show up and you're just like, oh, we've got this collection of this guy, and this guy that you might not have expected. You'd have your core group of cars, but you always have those three or four that, well, I didn't expect that person or this person to be there. And we're starting to see a little bit of that in the 410 ranks. It's really interesting to watch, and it's been entertaining. I think that's probably why a little bit more 410 racing's been on my diet lately of racing. It's better than it has been. In particular, basically every track I go to, I've seen better races than I've seen in recent years. And the great thing is the non-wing racing's still great. I mean, just look at what happened at Kokomo last Sunday and some of the stuff coming up this weekend, Indiana particularly, is going to be busy. It's really fascinating to see what's going on in open wheel racing right now. And you throw in the explosive growth of the 305s, we actually have probably more sprint car racing right now than we've seen in a long time. The fields are a little depleted because we're so spread out, but if that fills in, this is going to be interesting. Some of the weaker shows maybe go by the wayside. Some of the stronger ones survive. I think we're going to be coming out of this pretty good. So the sport right now looking to be in a really good position, especially improved on the wing side of things. I'm really glad to see what I, am witnessing in wing sprint car racing right now. It's really interesting to watch. So we're going to take a commercial break, but we come back, we're going to have several different viewpoints. We're going to have Tommy Googe coming on a little bit later to share the co-host seat as well, Alyssa Ruggles, and also we're going to have a preview of the Little 500 for the 2014. Brian Gerster going to be continuing that preview with us. So you're listening to TJ Slideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EnginePropartsCom. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at RocketHeaders.com.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Blade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air. As Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth, watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rocket around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records
to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EngineProParts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
Welcome back to TJ Sideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com. Don't forget, race fans, that you can catch the Michigan Traditional Sprints live right here on Races on the Web May 25th. Live video and audio from the Crystal Motor Speedway. And my next guest, I mentioned earlier about great stories in sprint car racing. This is one of the better ones we've heard all year. After a serious back injury last year, Alicia Ruggles picked up her first career 305 sprint car win at the Canandaigua Motorsports Park on Saturday, and it's been quite an ordeal, ending in victory lane for Alicia, and I'm glad she was able to join us tonight. First of all, congratulations on the win, and what did it mean to you after everything you've been through to pick up that first 305 win?
Yeah, it was really exciting. You know, coming back from a long off season last year, you know, I was out halfway through the season. It happened July 16th. You know, after that, I couldn't race, and to come out the second race of the season and win a race, you know, it was pretty emotional and exciting at the same time. You know, everything fell into place Saturday, so.
First off, for those that don't know, well, you were at the smoke shootout, and you were one of the cars involved in the big pileup on the front stretch on the first lap, and what actually happened to you, and did you know you were hurt right away as soon as the accident happened?
Right, we started, it was actually on a restart, so, you know, I had 19, 20 cars ahead of me, but actually I think I was running 12th at the time. And, you know, he went out for a bonsai move, Tony, and, you know, he admitted it. And I couldn't go anywhere. I was trying to follow my father. He got out of the wreck. He went to the infield, and I seen him go for the move. So I was actually right behind him, and I was going, and I was a little short. I hit the wall and went airborne. I had no place to go. Luckily, I didn't hit any other cars. It was just, you know, me. I went airborne, and when I landed, I was trying to, like, figure out what actually happened, and I was trying to calm myself down. I tried to figure everything out, and, you know, once everything settled down and, you know, I started seeing safety crew and everything, I started to feel the pain, and, you know, the pain didn't really, it wasn't in my back, it was more like my butt area, and I was like, I kept complaining, I was like, my butt hurts, and we all thought that, like, I broke my tailbone or bruised my tailbone, and so the safety crew checked me out, and I, you know, got looked at by them, and they brought me back to my trailer, and I got out of the ambulance, and I had one of my guys come and pick me up out of the ambulance, because I was like, I was still trying to figure out everything at the time, and, you know, everyone surrounding me at the time, and I was like, oh, you know, I was just at the point where I was like, all right, I just need to sit down for a minute. So I have ice packs and everything all over me, and I stood up by our four-wheeler that pushed the car at that night, and everything, I was like going into shock. So I had one of the crew, girls that work on the crew, she got her car and took me to the hospital, and you know, I got to Thompson Hospital, and they went through x-rays, and then we did a CAT scan, and they figured out that I broke my back, so they wanted me to go in for further observation, so they rushed me to Strong. Once I got to Strong, they did another CAT scan, and the doctors, you know, they said that it's a miracle that I'm up walking right now because I was only a half centimeter from being paralyzed.
Wow, scary stuff from Alicia Ruggles. Earl, and, you know, how hard was it sitting out, though, the whole time? Because it doesn't seem like it really prevented you from wanting to get back in the race car. Not only that, but you had to watch your dad race as well. I believe you won the week after that. How hard was it to see everyone else racing when you had to sit on the sidelines?
It was really hard, but I took the time and I watched the races. I studied his line. I studied everything that the drivers out there that were doing. So it actually benefited me, I think, by sitting out that much and watching, you know, watching different techniques, watching different lines that they run. So, you know, it was really hard, but, you know, Dad won a lot, so he made the time go by quick. And, you know, every time I got, I was in a back brace for 10 weeks. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't take the back brace off for 10 weeks. Good thing I'm close with my mom because I couldn't shower or anything, so, you know, she helped me out that way. But, you know, all the support from everybody at the racetrack and, you know, everything, talking about the back, asking how it's doing, you know, all that, it really went by so quick. And the doctor kept saying, you know, you have to do what I have to tell you, you know, because you'll be paralyzed. So, like, you know, so I listened to him, and usually teenagers my age, you know, 20 years old, they don't really want to listen to the doctors, and, you know, it's a good thing I did because if not, I could have really ruined my racing career.
And now let's go on to the fast forward to the good part, second race of the year. You had to race your dad for the win. So let's talk about how did you set your dad up to be able to beat him on Saturday night?
You know, it's funny that we talk about this because everyone's like, how'd you do that, you know? And I'm like, you know, I have an awesome crew behind me, and, you know, they set up my car, so, you know, they trust me, and I trust them, and I started seventh in the feature, and, you know, I just, everything happened in my part Saturday. I was leading the race within 5 laps into the race, I think it was, and, you know, I just set my mind to it that, you know, the track was slower, you know, the thing slower is faster, and, you know, I just had to keep putting that in my head, and during my heat race, I was overdriving my car, so, you know, again, I was talking to Dad throughout the break between my heats and my feature, and he's like, you know, just put your mind to it, you know, just don't overthink the car, just trust the car, so, you know, I trusted the car, and to beat Dad, it was awesome.
Now, is there any father-daughter smack that gets talked in the house previous to this? And now that you've won, can you turn that up a little bit now that you actually beat him?
Yeah, we go back and forth all the time. You know, he's going to beat, you know, I'm going to beat you. He's going to beat me, you know, and all that. But, you know, we really don't talk about that. You know, we just try and go out and have fun and race our race. And, you know, if we win, awesome. If not, then, you know, there's more studying we have to do. There's a lot of studying with the cars that me and Dad talk about during the week. You know, I work on the car, he works on the car. This week we didn't lose a crewman, but he got another job, so he won't be with us as often. So we'll be out in the shop more often.
Alicia Ruggles on the line with us talking about her victory at Canandaigua Speedway on Saturday night. And you are in modified country. And why did you guys pick the 305 sprint car division over maybe doing a sportsman modified or pro stock or maybe even a small block modified or a big block modified for that matter? Why go the sprint car route?
We were thinking about doing the whole sportsman deal, but, you know, I started car racing with the sprint cars, the 600 micro sprints. So, you know, we had lots of thought about going into the sprints or going into the sportsman division. You know, I started with the wing, and, you know, I wanted to stick with the wing, and there's always a further crash you can go with the sprint car. So, you know, we took that route. There's always a next step after the 305s if, you know, ever it comes to that. But right now, my main focus is 305s. And my Deanna, you know, maybe Patriots would be the next step or so on and so forth. But as of right now, I'm focusing on Canada going the 305.
Now, with the 305 class, we see a lot of growth, especially in your part of the country. That division seems to be popping up in a lot of different places. Do you think you would have been able to go sprint car racing had it not been for the 305 class?
There's always that, you know, there's always that Patriot step, though. So if it wasn't for the 305 class come at Canandaigua, then obviously you can go to, you know, the Patriots. But, you know, the CRSA, there's different, you know, different places you can run now. There's a tour race such as CRSA. You know, they run all over the place. They're Black Rock, you know, everywhere. I guess Fulton took on a show or something like that. I don't really know. But, you know, my main focus this year is Canandaigua. You know, that's right up my back, and, you know, I have a lot of fan base there. So, you know, I want to stick where, you know, where my heart is. And, you know, Canandaigua's only 5 minutes from my house, so it's kind of nice.
Nice to have a sprint car track in your backyard for sure. And you mentioned that next step. Now you are focused on this right now. Is the Patriot Sprint something you would look at doing, maybe ESS in the future, maybe in a year or two?
Oh, definitely. You know, maybe a year, maybe 2 years down the road. I think Dad's going to start doing something with a 360 motor here shortly, you know, just towards the end of the season. Not quite sure yet, but, you know, if anything, if I do good, then, you know, maybe I'll run a few Patriot shows with my 305, because you can run a 305 in a Patriot show. But, like, again, my main focus right now is just to finish my year at Canandaigua, and maybe we'll venture off to different tracks towards the end of the year.
Alicia, I'm sure you have some people to thank as well.
Oh, definitely. I have a long list of people this year. So I'll start naming people. Mike Maston, Van Bortle Trucking, Mike Emhoff, Eagle Motorsports, Ingles Performance, Engler Machine and Tools, FK Rod Ends, Dauber Sports Bar and Grill, Sprint Car Girls, FK Rod Ends, Vanderwall, Lawn and Lands, Lawn and Garden, Rubble World Motorbike. That's Dad's business. You know, if it wasn't for Dad's business, then we wouldn't be racing, because we don't get a lot of money. You know, it's more of like a fun hobby for me and him. My mom did our graphics this year, graphic designs by Wendy and my sister Bree. Fox's Auto, they help us out with, you know, our business. And I have a business, Alicia's Cut and Curl. I cut hair.
Well, it sounds like you do have a lot of people backing you. And I remember seeing the story from last year when I saw it come across our wire that you had picked up that first 305 victory. I had to have you on to kind of finish the story full cycle. So we look forward to seeing how your career progresses. And who knows, we will cross paths on the Patriot Tour at some point.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I really like the sprints, and, you know, I can see myself furthering my career and, you know, different venturing. Maybe, you know, maybe you'll see me in ESS, maybe you'll see me in sprints, but let's have a good year in the 305 this year, and we'll see what next year comes.
All right, Alicia Ruggles picking up her first win at Canandaigua. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Tommy Huge is going to join us, and we're going to start previewing the Payless Little 500. You're listening to TJ Slideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Blade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rocket around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
Welcome back to TJ Sideways Live here on racesontheweb.com. Joining me in the co-host seat for the remainder of the program, Tommy Googe from Canada. Tommy, thank you for taking the co-pilot seat for the remainder of the program.
Hey, no problem. Glad to be here.
Yeah, it's good to have you back on. And joining us to help us preview the Payless Little 500, a former rookie of the race and a driver that's hoping to add his name to the esteemed list of winners of the Payless Little 500, Brian Gerster, joining us on the line. Brian, I'm sure you are in the middle of a lot of Little 500 preparation right now, so I'm glad you had some time to join us.
Yeah, thanks for having us on, you know, and we do have some work yet to do, but really, you know, the 27 car that we run at the 500 is a the only race we do with that car is the 500. We'll occasionally pick up a stray race here or there. But, you know, since USAC, you know, took the pavement sprint cars off their schedule, we've kind of dedicated that car to the little 500. So the majority of our work is done, but, you know, work's never done on a race car. So, we still got a few little things to do, and, we'll be finishing stuff up this week and go move into Anderson for a week and, get ready to have the most fun of my racing year. It's a cool deal to go to the 500 and, you know, just looking forward to it every year, just the same way dirt midget racers look forward to the Chili Bowl, you know, pavement sprint car folks look forward to the little 500.
And Brian, before we get too far into the little 500 realm, we learned that AJ Watson passed away this morning at the age of 90. And I didn't know this till today, but Mr. Watson gave you your first Silver Crown ride ever. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that and your interactions with AJ Watson?
Yeah, you know, it was just I think it was 94. We had kind of got to where we were running a little bit better with our midget and you know, pretty competitive, and I think that might have been the year we had we won our first USAC National Midget Race at IRP, like in May of that year. So I think a little later on in the summer, it must have been like the August or end of July race. You know, that was a Thursday night or whatever. But I mean, I got a phone call at home on a Wednesday night from AJ Watson himself. You know, wanted to know if I wanted to drive his car the next night at IRP. And at that point, you know, I had not done anything in a Silver Crown car, and, you know, or I don't think I'd done any sprint car stuff at that point either. So, you know, obviously jumped at the chance to run a Silver Crown car, and, you know, I knew who AJ Watson was, but, you know, like a lot of guys coming up when you're younger, if you really, you know, when you're, you know, 20 years old or something like that, 22 years old, and maybe if you haven't paid close enough attention to the history of the sport and all that, maybe it's hard to have as much respect for that opportunity. I knew what was going on and who I was getting to drive for, but, you know, it was kind of a one-off deal. We just ran that one show, and I don't know that he ran a whole lot of other races after that, really, with that car. But, you know, looking back on it as the years passed, you know, that one particular night meant more and more to me, you know, the older I got. So, you know, a little, you know, sad day today. You know, I got a picture of him, you know, me sitting kind of like the old traditional kind of picture, you know, where the driver's sitting in the car without his helmet on and stuff, and the mechanic leaning up on the roll cage. And I've got a picture of him and me that, you know, forever and ever, I always thought, man, I need to go, you know, go over to AJ's and get that sign, because I wanted him to sign the picture so I'd have it. And, you know, unfortunately, I never did that. So, I mean, that's going to be kind of a bummer to, you know, look at that picture and know that one of those things I should have done and never did, but, it was a great opportunity. It was a neat deal. And, you know, I'm sure as hell not, you know, the driver that a lot of his drivers were, but at least I can say I ran for him one night. So it's pretty cool.
Well, Brian, getting back to the little 500, you know, I've been there a couple of times, and it always amazes me on the start where you guys are three wide, and then all of a sudden you're two wide and single file. And I've watched replays of the start, and I still, it's like a choreographed thing almost. Do you guys talk amongst yourselves as to what the plan is on the start of that race?
You know, maybe just a little bit. You know, you might mention to the guys that are starting around you, you know, sort of what you're planning on doing. And, you know, everybody, you know, if you're kind of in the middle of the pack or whatever, you know, everybody knows what the program is, and nobody wants to get caught up in a wreck in the first lap or the first corner and, you know, end your night. I mean, you've got 2.5 hours worth of racing to do. And, you know, if you don't make it through the first lap and get settled in, you know, it's going to be a long week wasted. So, you know, a lot of times you don't have to say a whole lot, but, you know, there are some times when, you know, there's younger guys around, or maybe guys, it's the first time they've done it. And, you know, those are the ones that, you know, maybe if you're starting next to, or, you know, behind or in front of one of those kind of guys, you just let them know that, you know, boy, everybody gives each other a little bit of room. And, you know, inevitably every couple of years, you know, something will happen, you know, and, you know, sure as heck you talk about trying to be careful and get through the first lap and get settled in and get going. You know, and then turn around and have something happen. But, it isn't that choreographed, but it is, everybody knows what's got to happen, and that's just to get through it, lining up for that race and just getting, a nice 11 rows of three and getting some cool pictures for the photographers and the race fans and saluting them and stuff. That's some pretty, you got to be on your toes just getting lined up because, Anderson is a little narrow when you're going three wide. So, that's one of the things that makes that race so unique is that the start and, the live pit stops and, the 60 some years worth of history. So, it's a cool deal.
In the first get in the race, you must qualify for the race. There's a lot of practice and qualifying that go into this. How much emphasis do you guys put on testing and practicing before the race, and how much emphasis do you guys put on qualifying?
We've been putting quite a bit on that because, quite honestly, we haven't been that good qualifying the last few years. We had a year, I don't know, two or three years ago where we had a pretty good qualifying effort, and I think we qualified seventh. But the last couple of years, we've struggled a little bit being really as fast as we want to be on qualifying. So, the race pace is getting faster and faster, and there's a lot of good race cars entered, and it's getting better and better as some of the guys are migrating away from the midget race and coming to Anderson to run. So, You got to be on top of the race pace and be fast there, but you really do want to try to keep yourself out of trouble and start as far toward the front as you can. And we're not where we need to be with our program, but we're working hard at that and hoping that some of the stuff we've been planning and working on here over the winter bears some fruit for us here in the first couple of days of practice, so we can get a little better qualifying effort, and then hopefully. We can run a decent pace in the race, and just if you start mid pack or on back, you're in jeopardy of getting a lap down pretty quick. And then I think last year we had five cars finish on the lead lap, so it's not a deal where you can run around all night long and just kind of stay out of trouble and have a good night, and have a shot at winning it. You really got to run pretty darn hard the whole 500 laps because there's so many good cars that are going to be doing the same. If you can't run the pace they're running when the night's over with, you're not going to have a shot at, up for the win or even being on the podium maybe. So, you do have to get qualified, but you got to go to run a fast race pace too.
You've won a lot of big races. You've run a lot of big races. Where does the Little 500 rank in terms of, like, let's say your top five races that you've run all time? Is it right up there at the top?
Yeah, it's absolutely got to be. When we were doing a lot of dirt midget racing, we were fortunate enough to go to the Chili Bowl, I didn't go to the Chili Bowl a lot of times, but I think I went seven times in maybe A Main on Saturday night, three out of the seven, and finished 10th the last time I was there. So, to get a top 10 at the Chili Bowl is a pretty big deal, and we were excited about that. But I mean, for where we're at now and what we're doing and where my career's at, Little 500, again, it's the same kind of thing with, the more you look into the history of it and you come to appreciate it, the more races that you run up there. And, so this is right at the top of the list, and it's something that we enjoy doing. Like I said, the car that I run at the 500 is a program that I helped take care of. My dad's involved with that, Daryl Guiducci and, Dan Davis and Jason Lynch and some of the really close people that have stuck with me over the years and participate in that. So it's kind of 1 week a year that we all get together and get to go, racing and, so it's a neat deal, but having a shot at just running well there is really important. But, it'd be cool to win that race, someday. And, the only way you're going to win it is if you just keep going back and trying. So that's what we've been doing.
unlike other races, you have two mandatory pit stops at this one. And there isn't much rhyme or rules to the pit stops. You can pretty much pit equipment, bring almost whatever you want down there to try to accomplish this. How much practice do you guys do leading into the pit stop part of the program? And what do you guys do, like, for refueling rigs and stuff? What are you building for that?
Well, you know, so there's a couple parts to that question. You know, the guys that we have helping us are pretty much the same ones that are coming back each year. Unfortunately, you know, my guys that have helped the last 2 years on the left rear, you know, Dustin Burge is the guy, and Justin, the buddy of his that helps him, they run the CRA Street Stock Series, and Dustin was a champion of that series last year. Well, they've got a race scheduled in Kentucky on that weekend. So we've kind of lost our left rear tire changer and carrier. So, you know, we've got a couple guys I think they're going to take their spot. So, you know, and I don't expect that to be a problem, but, you know, you've kind of got a window of where you can pit with regards to your fuel mileage, and you've got to get one pit stop made before the halfway, and then, you can make your second pit stop anytime after your first pit stop is the way the rule's written. So, you know, it's one of those deals where you do work a little bit on fuel mileage with the way that you fuel the engine, to try to get as many laps per gallon as you can. And then, you know, you just kind of have to weigh out where your fuel window's at. You know, try to get, you know, some tires on the thing. You do see a benefit in putting new tires on it when you make a pit stop. So we do that, and, you know, just see how things play out. And we got a little bit messed up on our first pit stop last year and got a bit behind, you know, and then late in the race, there was some weather coming in. We got rained out on Saturday night, and they made up the race on Sunday. But we got a little bit behind and just went ahead and stayed out and kept running and running and running because we were hoping it was going to rain and see if we couldn't pick us up a couple of spots, you know, real cheap there. And the rain never came, and we had to make our last pit stop under green, so that cost us a little bit more. So, you know, once you get a little off on your pit stops, you know, again, like we talked about, there's so many fast cars, you know, you're not gonna have much luck making up laps if you're way behind. So just good, clean pit stops and staying out of trouble all night long, you know, and try to run as fast as you can so you got a shot at it when you get down toward the end of it.
Obviously, Anderson's not a large track, but how much does the engine play into it? Like, how much power do you need, and how much can you actually get to the ground at a track like that?
You know, it's definitely a place that, you know, your engine's got to run clean and be smooth and be easy to drive. It's got to have a lot of drivability, you know, to make your job a little easier over the course of 500 laps. But it's certainly not a race, and that particular race isn't one that, you know, a bigger engine or more horsepower is going to, you know, be an advantage. I mean, you know, in fact, it's probably almost a detriment because you're just trying so hard to keep it hooked up. I mean, some of the guys that have had some real good success there, you know, they're running 410s, but they're, you know, they're not the brand new cylinder head with the big injectors and the kind of stuff that you'd use if you were wing racing or, you know, running the Outlaws or, you know, or even a USAC dirt sprint car. So, you know, just a nice, good, smooth running engine that you can make some decent fuel mileage with, is really the key to it. And, you know, a little bit too much power is probably a bad thing there because you just, you know, it's really easy to spin the tires, and once you overheat them and get them kind of slicked up, then it's hard to get any grip. So, you know, fuel mileage is probably more important than horsepower at that race.
When you have a big race like that, there's all the pre-race hype and all the pageantry and everything. And then you're going around that place in the parade laps. There's people all around you. You're in this, like, almost stadium atmosphere with all these people surrounding you. As a driver, how hard is it to not get overly excited or overly or start to tense up a little bit at the start of a big race like that?
Well, you know, I mean, I've done it enough times where it's not too bad. You know, the younger you are, the less experience you have, it's probably a little bit easier. But, you know, you're still absolutely nervous and excited and amped up and getting ready to go. But, you know, if you've been through it a few times, you kind of realize that you don't really benefit any from getting too excited about it. You know, you kind of have to have a game plan depending on where you're starting and on how you want to handle the first few laps and how hard you need to try to get going, you know, to keep up with everybody. But, you know, really honestly, you know, all the people and everything, you know, you don't really notice it once you get out there and get on the racetrack. The biggest thing you notice is if you're stuck in the middle of that field, that the fumes are really, really bad, you know, and we run a lot of laps getting everybody pushed off and then in line. And, you know, you'll notice that cars will run five or six laps, you know, perfectly lined up, ready to go to make sure that, you know, the fans can see the spectacle and you get good pictures for the programs and for, you know, the internet websites and things like that. But, you know, when you're stuck in the middle of it, it gets to where your eyes are watering and you can't breathe and you just want them to throw the green so you can get going and get some fresh air circulating. So, you know, that's not nearly as glamorous as what you might think, but that's the reality of what's going on for the drivers.
Well, before we get to the little 500, you're leading the must-see racing point standings. You've got 2 point shows coming up Sunday and Wednesday. It's a really busy week, actually. Saturday at Beerfield and Wednesday at Anderson with the wing on. What can we expect from those two races?
Well, you know, the race at Beerfield, must-see's never run a race there, so that'll be a first time for the series. You know, there's been a lot of wing pavement sprint car races that have been held there with, you know, with the Auto Value and the Haas series. So, you know, I do have one start there running the 50 car. It's been several years ago. So, you know, it'll be a good show. There's a lot of fast cars in that series. And, you know, we're looking forward to going up there. And then Anderson, you know, we typically run a couple of races a year up there with the series. So, you know, Beerfield's probably, you know, a little bit wider and racier, and you know, with the wing car, and then Anderson, you know, as tight a confines as it is, when you put the wing on and you start going just a little bit quicker, you know, it makes it a challenge. But you know, that race is typically decided, you know, working through lap traffic and so forth. But looking forward to both of those. You know, Dick Myers takes care of he owns and takes care of the 50 car that I drive in that series. And you know, we got off to a good start, Mobile and Pensacola, had a couple of fast times and won the race at Mobile. So hopefully we can just, you know, kind of pick up where we left off a month or so ago and be competitive and have a shot at winning both of those and see if we can't, you know, get a win and roll right into the 500, you know, with our program and keep things moving along here. The season's about to pick up and there'll be a lot of racing. So, looking forward to it. Had a little time off from those first two shows down south, but you know, it'd be a good weekend.
I think if I was driving for Dick Myers, I'd be looking forward to racing too. the car is really good. Is Dick going to help you at all during Little 500 week, or is he pretty much is your non-wing program pretty much separate of the wing program, or does Dick lend some advice there too?
Yeah, he is. He's you know, I'd say that they're separate, you know, because it's coming out of my shop and so forth from that perspective. But from the perspective of, you know, having his shop program on the car and using him for, you know, some, you know, technical resource and some work with the setup and so forth like that, that's one of the things that we're hoping will improve our program a little bit is, you know, getting a set of Ram Engineering shocks on the car. You know, we had a chance to practice up there about two, three weeks ago now, and, you know, we made some progress from where we've been, and now we still got a little bit more to go. You know, that the setup's a little bit different than what we've used up there in the past. So, you know, we still got some work to do, but Dick's going to, you know, either be there with us at the racetrack, be close by on the phone, you know, all week long. So we'll keep working on that, see if we can't take advantage of having him in our camp. And, you know, he's going to have several other customers down there as well. So, you know, it's not exclusively like he's there working on our stuff. He's got several customers, but we're looking forward to it. You know, he does a great job on the wing car, you know, and we've got a shot to win every time we roll the 50 car out of the trailer. So, you know, it's awful fun to go racing when you feel like you've got the car that most people are trying to catch. So, you know, I don't expect us to be able to quite get to that point with our non-wing program, because the field is just, you know, even more deep with talent than what the must-see series is, just because there's more cars there. But, you know, when you go to Anderson, you know, you're figuring you're going to race against Hoffman's this year, and, you know, Wyndham's a former champion, and Aaron Pierce is always a tough guy to beat, you know, and Gene Nolan's cars. You can kind of just go down the list, and like, I keep watching the entries come in, and they're up to 26 or 28, but, you know, I really think that just about every car on that entry list right now is a car that's capable of winning the race or running up, you know, in the top five. So, you know, it's just, it's going to be a challenge, but you know, hopefully we can put a best foot forward and see what happens.
And if you've never seen Brian Gerster run the 50 car on a big paved track, it's kind of like watching someone play pole position. He goes by cars and stuff. It's absolutely amazing. Well, Brian, wish you best of luck coming up for a little 500 week. We'll see you down there, and hopefully it's a good week for you.
Well, I appreciate you guys letting me come on and say hi to all the fans and everybody that comes out to the races. Hopefully it is a good week. I appreciate the kind words there, and we'll just we'll go out and do our best, you know, every night next week, and, you know, see what we get when we wrap it up next Saturday night. But if you've never been to Anderson, you know, I'd encourage folks to come down to Little 500 and check it out. And then for the folks that have been there, they know exactly what a cool deal it is. So, you know, if it's one of those bucket list things, make sure you go get it done. And I think once you see it one time, you'll probably come back every year after that. So hopefully we can see a lot of fans down there, and we have a good show. Look forward to it.
All right, Brian Gerster joining us. We're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to preview the Ash Weekend Speedway season. You're listening to TJ Sideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at RocketHeaders.com.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Blade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing of racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rock it around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Welcome back to TJ Sideways Live, heard on the racesontheweb.com. And Tommy Googe joining me again in the co-pilot seat, and Tommy's getting ready for another season at the Oswegan Speedway that opens up on Friday night. And Tommy, the big news story over the off season is Oswegan has a second division of sprint cars.
Yeah, the Strickland's GMC Crate Sprint Cars is our newest class, and they're using the 602 Crate engine from GM, and been a good response so far. We could have up to a dozen cars on opening night, and of course I'm biased, but I'd say that's pretty healthy for a first year division.
If you guys had 10, I'd be over the moon about that, to be honest. You're starting a new division. And for a lot of the people in this area around the Slideway studio here in Grand Rapids and stuff, we don't have that much crate racing around here. But what I was trying to explain to people, I've been on a couple other shows talking about this, is that crate engine is really prevalent around your area.
There's a debate, yeah, and has been for a long time as to what, the purpose of the crate engine, but in many respects, it has saved a lot of divisions in this province. The large majority of our Thunderstock division uses the crate engine. Most of the Dirt Car Sportsman modifieds at Merrittville and Humberstone use the crate engine. So it was really kind of a no-brainer for us to go the way that we did with the crate engine as opposed to some other type of engine for this type of a class at Oswegan. Because the drivers can use basically the same engine to move into this new division.
Well, that is a nice feature, and there are drivers to draw from, and there are cars that are going to be there. It seems to be, I've gotten a really good reception, at least, you always have your naysayers, but largely I've seen positive feedback about it.
Yeah, at first there were some questions. There were some people who wondered why we didn't go the 305 route because surrounding us, basically, in New York State, the 305s are quite popular, and south of us in Ohio, there's a pretty good, healthy 305 contingent down there. But I really think the 305 type of engine wouldn't have been good for what we are trying to do with this class, which isn't to replace the 360 class. It's to build up, to hopefully grow the 360 class by having a stepping stone division. As much as for driver development as for just drivers being able to get into this class and build up their inventory over time rather than having to shell out for a 360 engine and car right away, they can basically get the car and get a crate engine for quite a bit less, and then if they want to go 360 racing down the road, then they've already got the equipment to do it.
And Tommy, you and I were talking about off the air, this will be the 10th Canadian Sprint Car Nationals. Can you believe we're up to 10 of these things? And the race has really come of age, and it is becoming one of those races where people are circling it on their calendar going, this is the one I want to go to, or this is the one I want to win.
Yeah, I mean, it's I'm almost too close to it to really get a feel for where it fits into the grand scheme of things as far as 360 races go across the country. But when you look at what it pays, $12,000 to win, it's one of the top five paying races of the year for the 360 division, and we see racers taking note of that now. We saw Brad Loyette here last year. There's always somebody like him who decides to show up and give it a try every year, and I'm sure we're going to see some more drivers like that this year as the word continues to get out about that race. It's kind of a spectacle when they, especially with the 30 cars that we start now, and considering how many of those races with 30 cars on a 3/8 mile track that have gone
just like Tommy just went. He's gone. Something happened to Tom. We'll get him back in the air here, but yeah, what you see, they start 30 cars in that race, and the only reason they can do that is the track is so wide that they can actually pull this off. But I mean, that start and the traffic in that A main is just unbelievable.
Yeah, for sure. The traffic in the A main is really what seems to make or break that race for a lot of people. But it's amazing how clean they can race each other. We rarely see incidents in the A main. There's usually, you know, like one or two cautions in the A main over 35 laps. It's a pretty impressive race.
That's because everyone tears up their cars in the little feature.
Yeah. Well, the little feature, we changed that last year. It's not a free for all like it used to be. We only had 15 cars in it last year, and it was much tamer.
Yeah.
In some ways,
when you're starting over 30 cars, and you tell them the winner gets to go to the feature, that was interesting to say the least. It was always kind of a buckle up and hang on kind of a deal. But to get back to Oshwegan, you have the Nationals, the World of Outlaws show there, but you have a great 360 Sprint Car program there at Oshwegan. It seems to have very strong caliber teams that not only can win there, but go out and win other places as well.
Yeah, exactly. And it's kind of a shame that Merrittville's Patriot race got rained out a couple weeks ago, because I was really looking forward to seeing a couple of the rookies that we've got this year who are going to race with us weekly at Oshwegan, who are actually former Merrittville regulars, including Sean Slider, who most people outside of Ontario won't have heard of him, but he's a multiple-time Mod Light champion, like a dwarf car type car, and I think he's going to come in and do pretty well in the sprint cars. Also got several other rookies joining us this year, and one of those, Corey Turner, I think is really going to turn some heads as well. He's the son of Jamie Turner, who's been racing with us for a few years, and Corey's got a good head on his shoulders. They run their team like a business. They have a lot of sponsor support. They try to do things with social media and promoting their team in the community. And he's one of the other rookie drivers in our sprint car division this year that I think is going to get some attention.
It's been interesting to watch the evolution of sprint car racing in Canada, and Oshwegan in particular. I mean, 10 years ago, I was standing in the tech line with Kenny Jacobs, and he told me someday they're going to have outlaw shows here. Well, you guys do have outlaw shows now, and it's one of the biggest outlaw shows in Canada. It seems like when the outlaws come to Oshwegan, it's quite an event.
Yeah, it is, and the outlaws draw a lot of attention from pretty much everybody who's any type of a racing fan in the province. It's on a weeknight, which helps because there's no other tracks running. We get a lot of pavement drivers who come out and sit in the stands that night. That's probably the only dirt show that they go to all year, some of them. But the names like Steve Kinzer and Donnie Schatz are the main reason that they're there. And the World of Outlaws have international recognition, basically.
Yeah, it's great to see. And if you haven't been to Oshwegan Speedway, the facility is second to none. The racetrack is just beautiful. It seems like Glenn always has something new waiting for us there. But it's just immaculate when you walk in the gravel walkways, the racetrack, the orange and white colors, and the pit bathrooms are spotless with tile floors, everything else. I mean, you walk into the place and it's just amazing to see what a facility it is, and to have that in your backyard, man, has to be quite a treat.
Yeah, it is, and that's why I drive an hour and 10 minutes every Friday to go there, because it's worth the trip to be involved in that. And even if I was just a fan, I'd probably make the trip pretty much every week too, because I'm biased, but I'd say it's probably the premier racing facility in the province, basically, when you look at everything that we've got, the Musco lighting and the warm-up track for pushing the sprint cars off so that we don't waste a lot of time pushing them off on the track. It's just all around a great facility to watch racing at and to work at, too.
And the best part for me is nobody's getting married on Canadian Nationals weekend this year, and I told them if they are, they're out of luck, because I'm not missing it again. So, well, Tommy, I look forward to catching up with you guys at Canadian Nationals weekend. And from here on out, man, every Friday night, 360 Sprint Cars over at the Oshwegan Speedway.
Yeah, exactly. Come on out and visit us at www.oshweganspeedway.com or .ca. We've got both. And maybe we'll have to get you over the border some other night this year and see some other sprint cars racing around the province, because we've got the Southern Ontario Sprint starting up this weekend, too. They've got a doubleheader weekend, so we've got three 360 races in Ontario this weekend.
Wow, that is something else. If you had told me 15, 20 years ago that would happen, I would probably tell you you're joking.
No, and the cool thing is that probably 90% of all those fields is going to be from Ontario too, like Canadian cars and Canadian drivers, which really 15, 20 years ago, there was like three guys in Ontario that raced sprint cars. So it's quite the change.
So if you're from the States, I'm telling you right now, get your passport, get your driver's license, enhanced license. If you're from Michigan or one of the border states, get your passport card that's good for ground travel. Get there. I'm telling you, it is well worth the drive and well worth the trip. It's a good 6 hours for me to get there at the border, and I don't even hesitate. It's such a great place. I'm telling you, you need to go. So, Tommy, thanks for joining us, and best of luck up there at Oshwegan. I'm sure we'll be talking again probably before the Outlaws are at Oshwegan.
Yeah, I hope so. It's always good to talk to you, TJ. I appreciate the time.
And that's going to wrap up this edition of TJ Slideways Live. Of course, I want to thank Alicia Ruggles and Brian Gerster for being on tonight, and Tommy Gooch for holding down the co-pilot seat again this evening. So we'll do this again next Monday night at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Thank you and good night.
Thank you for listening to this edition of TJ Slideways Live.